A motley band of heroes set sail, bound for a new life in a lonely island outpost. Beneath the waves, the shattered bones of a long-dead civilization. Treasures beyond the dreams of avarice. Dangers beyond the realm of nightmares. A tale 10,000 years in the making. This is the Raiders of the Lost Continent.
I would really like to go back to Disney World someday.
You will, Skid. You will.
I don't know, man.
I've never been.
That's right. You've never been.
Which park?
I love them all. I love hanging out. I talked about Galaxy's Edge on this show, my experience there. That was fabulous. Big Epcot enthusiast. I love Epcot. The more boring everyone complains that it is, the more that I love it. I learned two pretty interesting facts about Disney World earlier today.
What are they?
Do tell.
Well, one is about the Contemporary Hotel. Joe, did you stay at the Contemporary? You stayed at the Polynesian, right?
At the Polynesian, my most recent trip. Yeah, Polynesian.
I have a fun fact about the Polynesian, too. Actually, that's what I'll say that one first, because you've been there. John Lennon signed the final papers dissolving the Beatles as a corporation at his suite in the Polynesian.
Wow. That's cool.
Huh. Yeah.
Wow.
Can you stay at that suite, and can you feel all of like the echoes of resentment and internecine struggles in that room?
Yeah. You can still hear the echo. It says, Yoko, Yoko, Yoko.
Yeah. Just feel the Yoko back massages. Sign it.
I had a very wealthy client once upon a time who lived at the Dakota because of how much he loved John Lennon. Like, he had a beautiful apartment there, but it was all... He could have lived anywhere in Manhattan, but he decided to live there. Interesting.
I'm restraining myself from asking what services you provided to said client, but... my imagination is running wild.
That's neither here nor there.
Beatles-themed sensual massage.
Uh-huh.
That's so funny. I used to do real estate on the Upper West Side, and my office was right near the Dakota, and oftentimes I'd preview a couple apartments, take some photos, and then I'd just kind of wander around that area, go over to where Strawberry Fields are. Mm. There's one Strawberry Field story that I can't tell on air, but one time I wandered in there and happened to be like, let's say it was Ringo's birthday or something. Mm-hmm. And whenever it's the anniversary of a Beatles death or one of their birthdays or anything Beatle related, a bunch of Beatle fans just show up and start jamming, evidently. So I just happened to be there walking through on Ringo's birthday. I sat down drunk and listened to, 40-something baby boomers, five or six guitars, and people were just singing, like, every single Beatles song, like, doing the B-side of Abbey Road all the way through as if it was one song. It was a real cool moment.
That's really
cool. And you were drunk in the middle of the day?
It was around happy hour.
Difficult to believe.
2 p.m., I had finished previewing my apartments, had a good solid 3 hours in the office, and then I got a little drink.
The Dakota always freaks me out, though, because just that stretch of sidewalk where John Lennon, I get like chills like over there.
Also, Rosemary's Baby
there too. So it's really, I don't know. I don't care for that building. I wouldn't live there.
Yeah.
It gives me major Ghostbusters vibes.
Yeah. It is in that Upper West Side is all very Ghostbusters to me.
They're all going to laugh at you.
Has anyone stayed at this Contemporary in Disney World?
No.
Well, that's what I love the Contemporary. That was the first hotel I stayed in the first time I went there as a kid, and I love it. And the fact that I learned about the Contemporary is that Nixon delivered his I am not a crook speech at the Contemporary in one of the conference rooms. Yeah. Yeah.
So is that how it works? Are there like a bunch of just really well-known hotels that are connected to the park?
Yeah, there are like resort hotels.
They're on
the grounds, and there's monsters walking around. Not monsters, but giant rats. and ducks and stuff.
Yeah, and if you take the monorail, you can avoid the monsters.
Right.
And they have a tram system set up that, you know, you can look at them like on a safari and you
take pictures.
But yeah, they're all owned by Disney. They just cater to like different clientele, right? It's kind of like a more adult one versus that. And it freaks me out. I always forget that Disney makes so much money from the parks. Mm-hmm. It's like how Frito-Lay and Pepsi make all their money from like Pizza Hut. Like they sell less Pepsi than Coke, but they own Pizza Hut and Taco Bell and like all these other things. It's very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, the contemporary is a sort of what people thought modern was in 1973. Like, that's the theme there. And, yeah, the monorail goes right through the middle of the building, which is really awesome. And the Polynesian is a Polynesian luau theme. And there's a Grand Floridian, which is this Florida theme. It's I don't know. It's great. I miss it. But, you know, we explore different sort of themes on this show, too, through the magic of Pathfinder. That's the real Magic Kingdom that I want to talk about right now. Sorry, guys.
I'm excited to go. And your talk about Galaxy's Edge and your sort of nostalgia right now is really firing me up. Because now that I have children, like, I can't wait to go.
Yeah, I was saying, I'm so jealous of you and Joe at some point being able to take your kids there. That's just that's going to be so great for you guys, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Gwen is so, and Joe too, to a certain extent, of really fully in, like completely into the entire magic of Disney's world. Like they just believe all of these characters to be real, to be friends of theirs and stuff, you know what I mean? And yeah, so you can see how taking them there would be such an incredible experience before they get too old. We had planned to go. We had plans to go before the pandemic because kids are free until they're two, I believe. Mm-hmm. And we had loose plans to go, and it just didn't work out last summer. And because, you know, we just wanted to kind of get it in there, and now we missed our chance. But I definitely want to take them. I mean, it's going to be so unbelievably expensive. Like, I don't know how it's going to be possible. But Gwen is just, I don't want her to get to that age where she's like over it. You know what I mean? But the thing is, with Disney, like, you're never totally over it. I just mean over, like, the magic of it, you know.
Well, it's sort of, it's a window where it's still completely magical for them, and they completely buy it. So it's like, oh, there's Minnie Mouse, and she loves me.
You're right.
And them being able to remember their trip.
Yep.
So it's like, right, they have to be old enough to remember it, but not too old to lose all the magic. And then once they hit 13, you lose them completely.
It's also nice that your children are close to the same age. Whereas when I was like 6 and my sisters were 16 and 13, and they did not want to be in the same parts of the park. Like, I wanted to be on Winnie the Pooh and the Teacup Ride, and they wanted to be on Space Mountain.
Drinking in Germany.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I miss. They used to have Pleasure Island. Was one of the places there. It was the adults, the place for adults to hang out. And you could just go and get hammered and go to a shitty improv show and go to the Adventurers Club. And it was great. It was awesome.
We're getting back there. I'll tell you, I went to the grocery store yesterday, and all those toilet paper and paper towel aisles that have been like either barren or filled with like no-name brands of toilet paper, like fully stocked. And I've seen that over the past few weeks. But then I turned the corner to the cleaning alley and Lysol wipes, fully stocked.
Wow.
For the first time since the pandemic began. I saw that and I was like, huh, maybe this vaccine is going to work.
Yeah.
Maybe we're turning the corner.
Maybe Lysol we're coming wipes. Back. Hot or tip. People have just given up.
Possibly that.
They've given up trying to prevent it. They're just like, just give it to me and fuck it.
Yeah. Hot tip for our Patreon subscribers. If you are in need of Lysol wipes because you can't find them anywhere in the country, you can go to Troy's grocery store.
Mm-hmm. Yep, come on out. Don't stop by, but come on out.
Don't come to my house. I don't want to see you.
Purell. Usually it was just like Tequila Sunrise hand lotion. Now it's actually Purell.
tequila sunrise.
I do have some off-brand hand sanitizer from like when it was really hard to find, and it smells awful.
Oh, it's terrible.
Like, they were like cranking it out, and the normal things they do to like refine it, they didn't do. Like, it still works, but it's just like, oh.
When Dash was born, they had actual Purell at the hospital. I was like, is it cool if I take 40 of these? Thanks. Put it in my bag. Put on my bill.
Wow.
And then you like slowly sneak back in to like grab one more and then slip away.
Put it in my breast pocket.
Oh, wait,
pocket.
The baby.
Oh, the baby, yeah. It's mine.
Well, there's some other labor pains that you're going to talk about. It's the labor that you're going to have to spend digging yourselves out from this horrible trap. You guys set off this sound blast, and it triggered this collapse. So everyone is... I want everybody to make a will save, first of all.
You know, if I had a nickel for every time one of you had buried me under a sound blast rubble pile...
Are we disbelieving that this existed? I'd have
15 cents.
Actually, no. It is not a... It is a fortitude save. Sorry, fortitude save.
Fortitude.
Okay. You know, while you're at it, guys, I gave you energy resistance last week. That is definitely passed by now. It was only 15 minutes.
Okay.
And turn off Inspire Courage. Not that it would affect this.
Oh, yeah.
Just for your own.
Oh, and I can turn off Grappled.
Actually, it does affect Inspire Courage. Okay. 21.
Okay, you're good.
23.
16?
You're good. You're good.
Oh, huge.
20. Also good.
Okay, ooh. You're all good. So you're all able to avoid being stunned. However, you would still take some damage here.
Oh, man.
Everybody take 3 points of sonic damage.
What is this? Havana?
And yeah, then the structure around you starts to collapse, and everyone make a reflex save.
Jeepers.
Good thing we're not underwater.
Oh, natural one.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
28 for Drakeus.
Okay.
25 for Gamo.
26 for Azora.
Okay, so everyone but the Colonel saves, and you are able to choose whether you want to be out on the outside part of the cave or inside the structure when you dodge. Which side do you choose?
I guess I'm going to ask this question, but if it's not something I would know, is the way completely blocked? Like, is this rubble like completely sealing the cave tunnel?
You don't think so. In the split second that you have to make this decision, you don't think that it will block up the entire exit.
I will dive into the cave.
Okay.
I will dive into the cave.
I almost want to flip a coin because it feels like something I wouldn't necessarily do instinctively, but seeing my party members go inside, I think Drakeus will also go in.
Okay, so the three of you, boom, were able to fling yourselves splash into this flooded basement, and Colonel Luther, you take 11 points of bludgeoning damage, and you are buried underneath stone.
Oh.
Okay. Is the water up over my head as well, or?
No. Your mouth is still above water.
You guys all jump in there and you look back and the Colonel's not with you.
Oh, God.
Well, he was a weird guy, but we'll miss him. Shall we proceed?
He had a really good run.
Yes.
If only he could channel positive energy, he might be able to. He might have been able to save himself.
And Azura's just thinking, Luther von Hildebrand was dead long before that collapse. But she says nothing. Oh, she spits on the pile of rubble and walks away.
Ow.
All right.
I don't think he had anything valuable, so I think we can just leave the pile there and proceed.
Did he have a headband of alluring charisma before we move on? I just want to dink. I'll just cast detect magic on the pile.
Dig on his head.
Take that.
And then just like, yeah, stick a swarm of crabs on his face while he's buried
not
beneath
it. Bad.
I'll try.
This actually reminds me of It's a Wonderful Life. When George and Mary Bailey are walking home after the dance and she's wearing a robe and she jumps into a bush and he has her robe and she's naked in the bush.
This is a very interesting situation.
Half an hour, I want to come
give it to me or I'll scream.
Oh, maybe I could sell tickets. No.
They're all the way downtown. They'd be on my side, too.
They'd be on my side, too, yeah.
He's like pacing back and forth.
Yeah, he's paying his. This is a very interesting situation.
Very interesting situation.
That movie is so goddamn good.
It is a good movie.
I just saw it.
It is a good movie.
Every moment of it. Every moment.
Every moment, yep.
It's right after one of my mother's favorite moments when the guy on the like sitting outside his house is like, you gotta kiss her or talk her to death?
Yeah. Like, why don't you kiss her? Why don't you kiss her instead of talking her to death?
Did I tell you guys I decided to watch the colorized version of it?
No.
That used to be like one of the only... It was the more widely available version back in the early 90s.
It looked fantastic on the Amazon Prime. I don't know if they cleaned it up further, but...
it's probably a different version. It's probably not the Turner version.
Okay. It looked good. I do want to see the black and white one, though, too.
But I'm a purist. I wanted to watch the black and white one, but I could only find the color one. I had to do, like, extra searching. I can't remember what I had to do to find the black and white one, but I did eventually. Tan-painted, right? It's like
you have to do that.
Oh, really?
Frame by frame, yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, should we move on?
It's been a wonderful life.
It's been a wonderful life for Colonel Luther. Zora will say, Drakeus, help me with this. She can't move barely anything. And I'll try to start digging the Colonel out.
Yeah. Is it like rubble? Can we like start like moving rocks or do we have to kind of like...
Yeah, you guys can. It's loose rubble, so it'll take about a minute's worth of work, and you can free the colonel.
And this was from scaffolding collapsing, you said?
Yeah, when the sound went off, when the sound burst went off, it cracked the scaffolding, and all this stone collapsed into this tunnel.
Scaffolding injures thousands of people a year, by the way. It is probably one of the most realistic deadly things we've faced in this game.
Yeah, actually, that's true.
I'm down 14 hit points now. Thank you. As you're pulling me out, pulling me into this cave. A little fucked up now. I don't want to burn a channel if no one else took any damage. Any of you take significant damage?
Took a little, but not necessarily a channel's worth.
So we still don't have a wand, huh? Wow.
You weren't at full, though, right?
I took 3 points of damage, and now I'm down 6.
Yeah, oof. I mean, I could do spontaneous casting and burn, like, a second-level spell, but I don't love that right now.
You can channel if you want.
Yeah,
We're just noting how ready you are for yourself.
Yeah, I might have a potion I can give you. Let's see.
How far are you down, Grant?
Let me make sure I took that 3 points based off of... I did take the 3 points. I'm down 5. Okay. I mean, it still helps.
Yeah, I'll burn a channel.
Okay.
8 points on 3d6.
Oh,
brutal.
Brutal.
I'm up to four.
Yeah, bet you are.
Thanks, Colonel.
Got rid of all my non-lethal. Well done.
A 1, a 2, and a 5.
Can I roll a perception check to see if the Colonel is wearing a headband of alluring charisma just for future reference?
The Colonel pulls down the brim of his hat. You're looking at me strange, Gavel.
Just noticing you're using 2 head slots.
The hat is decorative. What is up with this cave? And was that collapse natural, or did someone push that ruin upon us?
Can I do a knowledge engineering?
Yeah.
To determine what caused the collapse? That is a 15.
Yeah, this looks like it was a deliberate trap. It's like someone set this up to do exactly this to someone coming in without some precaution.
Hmm. Okay.
That's interesting.
Yeah, Zora will mention this. We've been set up. Keep your wits about you. She's pointing around with her loaded crossbow and we'll keep moving forward. Try to walk up these steps behind Drakeus.
The lower half of Nal Shikar's basement is flooded by 5 feet of water. Mold cakes the walls and ceiling in black blotches. Rivulets of water leak from cracks and crumbling masonry. In the air is a foul mixture of musty and sulfuric stink. A wide stone staircase connects this lower level to an upper level of the basement. The masonry of the east wall has collapsed into the basement, revealing a natural tunnel equally flooded with water, which you just were in.
Wow, this is crazy looking.
Yeah, so like half the room is this is not flooded, and it's got looks like a workbench and some sort of circular thing at the center here.
Maybe stairs going up.
Stairs going up. Yeah.
Detect magic on the room. Anything in there emanating magic?
Magic. Yes, you do detect magic coming from the shelves in the upper half of this basement chamber.
I walk over to the shelves and try to localize. I'll hold on to detect magic long enough to localize exactly where it's coming from.
Okay, and I'll describe this upper part. The stink of mold and sulfur clings to the air in this damp basement. A single arched doorway leads down into a flooded portion of the basement, adjacent to a tall, circular shelf loaded with mushrooms, glass jars of desiccated insects, dried herbs, and other reagents.
It's a witch.
A small table outfitted with a cauldron and alchemical gear fills a nook by a large ascending staircase. A small workbench covered with carving tools and whittled bone and bits of jewelry stands to the west next to a large table laden with scraps of paper and fragments of etched stone tablets. So you move towards where you're sensing this magic from, Colonel. And yeah, it's right by this end of this shelf, but it seems to be coming from inside the wall behind the shelf.
What? This shelf here to the left or in the middle?
To the west, yeah.
To the west. Can I start pushing books aside and seeing if there's anything? I'll roll a perception, see if anything out of the ordinary. 15.
No. Yeah, you don't see anything. It's just you see this like sort of shifting aura coming from inside the wall, but you don't see any way to access it.
Huh. But it's localized right here. Now yeah. I tell the others, there's something here. I can't quite place it. First, Rick, I thought it was coming from the bookcase itself, but it seems to be coming from beyond, in the wall.
With only a burgeoning magical ability as a 6th-level ranger, Drakeus probably doesn't have the insight that a caster would into it, but it'll still peer for a perception. 19.
Yeah, you don't see, you don't know, you can't see this aura, obviously, but yeah, you don't see anything in the wall that would lead you to believe that there's anything past it.
A candlestick on the wall to pull on.
Yeah.
Could Azura, so I can detect magic and then taking 20 on perception doesn't do anything?
Yeah, you can do that. You can search for a while.
All right, I'll take a 30, that's a 32 on perception if I take my time.
Okay, so while the other two people are focused on the wall, like trying to see how to get in right there, you're searching the whole area and you see that there is a loose tile in the floor in front of the shelf.
Ah.
And you press down on it and this compartment swings open.
Oh, awesome.
Foot.
And you see a little chest.
Back.
Put the Kindle back. And there's a chest inside.
Wow. Wow.
All right. Drakeus, grab it.
And open it.
And open it.
Drakeus, we'll do that.
Okay. Yank it out. Throw it open. And this is full of all kinds of stuff. There's bottles. This looks like some armor. There's a shield, there's a sword, there's money, there's gems, scrolls, all kinds of stuff.
Wow.
Wow. We found the witch's treasure.
Yeah.
We're fighting a horde.
What kind of armor are we talking?
you're kind of piecing through it, and you hold up this. It's a chain shirt.
Ooh, I like that.
I love a chain shirt.
Is it magic?
It is. It does have magic emanating from it.
Oh, boy. Can someone...
Yeah, Azura could spellcraft it. 20.
Okay, and I'll just roll that over for everything. It is a plus one chain shirt.
Ooh.
I'm out of the running for that one. I have a plus one mithril chain shirt already.
Ooh, so. Nice.
Gabo has a masterwork chain shirt and would appreciate the upgrade.
Ooh. Okay.
I have mithril chainmail, but I think this is better.
It's a what is the total?
Chain shirt is plus four, so no, actually, it is not better. Because I got plus six. Take your garbage shirt, Gabo. All
right. You can have it, Gabo. There you go.
Plus one chain shirt.
Nice upgrade.
Okay. So do you guys just take some time and go through everything?
Yeah.
Okay.
Might as well.
So there's a bunch of coins, and it totals 17 platinum pieces, 457 gold pieces, 3,770 silver pieces.
Wow.
And 11,700 copper pieces.
Put it in the chat there. If we want to figure out what that split is. Wow, so I feel like that's our first big cash dump.
Yeah, this whole adventure.
Yeah, I think it is.
17 platinum, that's nice.
Yeah. It's
like 0.1 Bitcoin, I think.
Wow.
There is also a steel shield that is magical, and you spellcraft that. It is a plus one light steel shield, and it is engraved with the same spiral and star symbol that you saw on the doors.
Ooh, the Phrasman shield.
The Flamin shield. So I did the math. If you guys want to add it, that's 280 gold each.
Okay. Feel confident about that?
Pretty confident, yep.
There is a magical short sword, a plus one short sword.
Oof. That's not bad.
No, I don't have a magical weapon, but I won't be able to. I guess I can. Actually, let me add it and see if I
can. Can you use your abilities with that?
That's what I want to check.
I mean, it's a light weapon. So.
Light one-handed weapon.
So. My issue is, like, my flail is my deity's weapon, and that gives me the wisdom bonus from Guided Hand. So I've kind of built two characters across kid shows that are confined to one weapon. Rhapsody with his blade. And,
I can use that short sword with my...
With your abilities?
Yeah, so it would be a good backup for me.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Awesome.
Does anyone else want it? I'm happy to roll on it.
Azura, do you have a good melee weapon?
No, but I have an 8 strength, so I'm not going to fight anything in melee.
The only time I would ever use something like that would be in a situation like with that crab, and it's so rare. I mean, if we ever find a magical dagger, I'll definitely take that. If you ever upgrade that weapon, I will take that weapon for one-handed situations, but it is so situational, I have no interest in rolling off on it with you.
Yeah, my cutlass is slightly better in terms of the bonus damage, but my cutlass isn't magical, so if we ever encounter something with DR...
Did Fluctus not work for you, or did it buried with Nico?
It's a long sword, so I don't think...
Oh, it's a long sword. That's,
I don't think I get any of the bonuses from a long sword.
And I think it is still... It was interred with Nico last week. Or was in the colonel's chest, I think.
I feel like the colonel held on to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you carrying it?
No, I should be, but no, I didn't say that I was.
Yeah, okay, I can't...
So it's back in A16.
Yeah.
I don't get
any playing with it.
I'm still so worried that Ukra
pointing the sharp end at her eye, her blind face,
just like the front of this temple.
Just worried that when you told her to feed the pigs, it got mistranslated in Aslanti to like eat the pigs. She's like stabbing them right now.
I could have used a completely different verb tense.
The declension.
Right. I always fuck up the declensions with Aslanti. Okay, so there's additionally a little silver statue of what looks like the butterfly-winged figure in the embrace of the blindfolded figure.
Oh, wow. I wonder if it's like a wondrous statue of figurine of power. What are they called?
Figurine of power.
Yeah, it's not. It's not magical. But it looks like it could be something valuable, yes. And a bunch of assorted gemstones. There are also a bunch of scrolls. There is, and yeah, I'll just roll that over. There is a scroll of corrosive touch.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
A scroll of darkness.
Love it.
A scroll of delay poison. A scroll of fox's cunning. A scroll of mage armor.
Wow.
And a scroll of restoration.
Gosh, what a haul.
Yeah.
And that's gems, great. Too. This is a great...
Darkness, yeah. Mage armor, fox's cunning, restoration, and...
corrosive touch.
Delay poison and corrosive touch.
I will take... at least the... I'll take delay poison.
I want to see if corrosive touch is on the cleric spell lifts, because if it is, I want it.
It is not.
It is not.
Well, this is interesting. Okay.
Does anyone want to do an appraise on the assorted other valuables?
Sure. Take a swing.
I'll take delay poison and restoration for sure. I can do darkness in my sleep.
I was going to say I would take delay poison.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, because you're usually fighting. Like, I can spend rounds casting those kind of things.
All right, then I'll just take restoration.
Because I'm pretty sure it's on the bard spell list, but I'll double check.
I only rolled a 9 on the appraise.
I got a 15.
15, that's enough. So do you think that the statue, the little statuette, is worth about 600 gold pieces?
Mm.
And the gemstones, you think, are altogether probably worth about 550 gold pieces.
How does this work, given that we're in this on this island, Skid? Would we have to like wait for the next ship to come in and sell them, or do you think there'd be vendors on the island that would buy them? How do you want to run this?
I was thinking about this. So yeah, this stuff like this, valuables, you will probably very soon be able to just sell them to people on the island. There will be some limited magic items that you'll be able to buy on the island once vendors get set up. But your other option is to trade with the Strix.
Yeah.
Because they will go out, they find like different magical items during their salvage operations, and you can trade with them for stuff like this. So
that's cool.
They're another option too.
I was just thinking about, I love how this island is slowly building up and we're getting the colony settled. It reminds me of just starting like a Bronze Age, Age of Empires of settlement, and like it slowly grows, and you upgrade the buildings as you go along, and the palace, the wood lining turns into palisades. And anyway.
Yeah.
I feel like this has been the lowest treasure adventure so far, and I wonder if it's because we were supposed to be building relationships that would lead to the treasure that we need, and we just didn't. And so
we just wanted to kill things and loot the treasure off the bodies.
Sorry, no treasure.
Well, that's your other option too. Sorry, is that the Lokatha, the Okoloro? If you maintain contact with them, they can trade for you with the undersea city of Telesandri.
That's so cool.
So cool. If they come back, like you can send them to like trade stuff for you.
So I guess we'll just make note of the gemstones, and we'll worry about that when we get out of here alive.
Mm-hmm. And who has a craft alcemy? Is that Azura?
That's Azura, yeah.
Make a craft alchemy check.
Okay. 19.
So you also realize while you're pawing through all this other obvious booty that all of this stuff on the shelves, the mushrooms and all these other reagents, are super valuable alchemical components.
Ooh. And we should return those to the colony.
Yeah, like Alba Divinvar would probably give you a big chunk of change for those.
Ooh, sweet. All right, so we'll collect those up as well.
Yeah.
Bag them up. Bag them and tag them.
All right. So, yeah, that's pretty much all you see down here.
Really? No, is there any symbology like of the doors up at the top place Anything to indicate that it's connected or?
Yeah, just the statuette.
No, right.
And the steel shield has the same spiral and star symbol too. Oh, and there's also these bits of masonry and tablets with like writing etched into it that are scattered all over the place.
Well, let's read them.
Are they readable?
Yeah, there's nothing. They're nothing cohesive, but it's just you. It's in Aslanti. It's an ancient Aslanti, and it's snippets of lore from Aslant, and they're just kind of all over the place.
Oh, Colonel loves that. It's like, yeah. Aslanti lore, but also incomprehensible. Sign me up. He just gathers it.
Yeah. Do you take time to like go through it?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind spending a little time, and we're not under threat right now. Obviously, we want to get through this, but I'll take a 10 minutes, 30 okay. minutes.
Yeah. Okay. So you take your time and you're kind of piecing through these, just this fragmentary record. And whoever the author was, they seem to have been an oracle or a prophet of some kind that suffered from a curse that hindered their vision. And altogether, they seem to detail mundane oracular methods used during the time of Aslant. It talks about casting bones to reading tea leaves and entrails of animals. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
It's interesting. Between the Cyclops connection, this image of a blindfolded deity possibly connected to Pharasma, the idea of an oracle who, you know, envisions both connotations of vision, seeing and seeing. There's a connection here we gotta kind of keep in mind as we travel forward. So Colonel will just kind of say that more eloquently in his cryptic talk.
Yeah, you know how he does.
You know how Colonel does.
You know the Kern.
Someday we'll find it. The Cyclops connection. The love. Dreaming.
What is Skid, this central circular thing, is this a tower of some kind? Is it like a pole? Column? Or is it just kind of like a inset in the floor?
It's a like a brass kind of pillar decorated, like a dome. It's like a backsplash to this alchemist table. It's got this, it. Yeah, it just rises up and it's like a dome, forms a dome. It's made out of brass.
Okay. Should we head upstairs or do we feel like we've searched this room thoroughly?
Skid, did we get every bit of treasure in this room?
You think so? You sure think so?
We take 40 more minutes to make sure and then we go upstairs.
Give another pass.
No, did everybody perception their way around or were we just focused on the bookcase?
Joe took 20, right?
I just took 20 on that one thing. I would take time to take 20 on the rest of the room.
All right, yeah, I can take 20 as well. 30.
So it's a 32, Skid, if there's anything else.
Okay, yeah, so you're searching the room thoroughly, and Azura, at one point, as you're scanning over everything, you're looking up and into the depths, the darkness at the top of the ceiling of this I think it was like 20 feet high ceilings. And for a second, you see something glistening in your Ioun torchlight. And you focus your eyes, and it's like this sort of translucent, transparent, slimy eyeball hanging off the ceiling.
Eyes again. Eyes!
Can I do a Knowledge Arcana?
Or yes. Is
it irrelevant? I didn't know if it, I'm thinking Arcane Eye.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah, Arcana would do it.
Dude. Natty 15 for a 27.
Yeah, you recognize this. This is what is called a Hag Eye Ooze.
What?
And, you know, they are used by hags. They create them, and they're used as spies. They can see through them. And you can see it's just like this eyeball that's practically invisible hanging off the ceiling.
Drakeus.
I don't like fighting the hags.
We're being watched. She looks up. They know we're here.
Well, if they know we're here, hello there. How you doing? We're here.
And
we're here now. We figure we'll probably come up and see you. Got some issues to discuss. You know, we can do this the peaceable way. We're happy to do that. But, you know, it doesn't have to be so contentious. You don't need to spy on us.
Can I know with my roll if the eyes can detect sound as well, or if they just see images?
It's just vision.
So Azura turns like, they can't hear you, Gabo. Please stop. Please.
Well, that's
maybe
too bad.
She can read lips.
Maybe she can read lips. You never know.
As incalculably untactical as that move may have been, Gabo does have a point. They've been watching us for this long. They would have come down from their position of power. But I think they're lying in wait for us anyway, so them knowing we're here makes no real difference.
Be on your guard. We're made. They know we're here.
And you look at this thing and you see it just blink.
Kill it.
Can we like disable it? Just to be like, screw you.
It's not hurting us. The cat's out of the bag, so.
We just wave at it like a security camera. Yeah. We're coming. Coming for you.
Middle finger.
Fuck you. Fuck your house.
Oh, wow. Very interesting. So,
about the imagery.
Is there,
like his eyes.
I'm thinking like
is there a way to eliminate it?
Yeah.
Is there a way to eliminate it?
I mean, it's a creature. You can try to kill it.
Oh, it's a creature. Okay, I didn't quite understand that.
The only thing is, right now it's not aggressive. It's done its job. So we might not want to provoke it and have it hurt us. You know,
I don't
want to
fight an ooze or waste, blow, you know, waste consumables and have to heal from fighting an ooze that we don't have.
I only have one channel left.
Oh, gosh, okay. Yeah, let's move on.
Let's remember this moment.
Well, that eye can only be used by hags. So is that what Azura figured out? Like, is that part of it?
Yeah, they create them and they can see through
them. Hags are the worst.
They're horrible.
Oh.
All right. Who's going up the stairs? Come on. One of you guys. Let's go.
Drakeus, get up there.
Drakeus, what are you waiting for?
Drakeus gets up.
Sprints up the stairs full speed. Double time now.
All right, so Drakeus is taking the lead. And then it's Gavo, Azura, and Luther. Is that right?
I can go before Azura, unless Azura, you prefer to not have your back open.
Let me go before you. Just cause it's better for me to be able to touch two people in a heartbeat if I have to. I can cast touch
always.
Spells.
I'll be there. It's just a weird skid's just pulling us off the map and we're just one by one disappearing.
Teleported dimensionally through into stairs of magical.
Damn, right. This confounding hag's tower.
Drakeus, after you.
All right, so Drakeus, you reach the top of the stairs and you see, the first thing you see is the interior side of the doors that you tried to get in when you first approached this building.
Oh, interesting.
And you can see across the room, there's another set of stairs going up.
Does the door appear barred from this side?
The door is barred, and let me reveal the rest of the room as you get up there.
Whoa.
No.
Can we go back?
This great foyer is a picture of faded majesty. Walls once decorated with colorful murals are now flecked with mold, the discolored paint peeling off in large flakes. A strong odor of brine and musk clings in the air. However, no amount of disrepair can diminish the awe-inspiring scale of the two 30-foot-tall statues that loom in this room, flanking a weathered marble altar that bears the seal of a star and spiral. The eastern statue depicts a robed goddess in a dramatic pose, holding a knife in the air with the blade angled down towards herself. A blindfold shrouds this figure's eyes, and she clutches a stone hourglass under one arm. The western statue depicts a young woman in robes like those of her partner, with hair flowing down to her ankles, a pair of immense butterfly wings, and a five-pointed star held in one hand over her head. In addition, you see two enormous aquatic trolls standing beside each of the statues, and the minute you show your faces, they lunge at you. Roll for initiative.
Oh, aquatic trolls. What?
Oh, man. Remember, trolls. Regeneration. Be cool.
Be cool. Oh, dear.
Man. Yeah, I'm thinking those double doors lead out. That these were the doors that were barred.
That's what he said.
That's what he said.
The lobby. Oh, sorry.
Really good instincts, Troy.
Great.
Really
I totally was listening to every word and I missed that.
It's so stupid.
Stupid. Really great instincts.
I have a, I just have this feeling that we're in the lobby and those doors lead out. Well, we'll talk about it after the encounter.
Amazing instincts. Yeah, so there's these two double doors you can see now. They're clear. They're barred that lead outside. And then there's two other sets of double doors next to each of these statues behind these massive trolls. Colonel Luther, what did you get for initiative?
Colonel Luther, I got a respectable 16.
That's not bad.
Not too shabaroo.
What about Azura?
23.
Gavo, what'd you get?
19.
19, very good. And Drakeus?
A treacherous 7.
Oh no, that's the worst number of them all.
No.
A treacherous 7.
Okay, but luckily you guys are a little quicker on the draw, and Azura goes first.
Well, that's good. Azura is immediately going to do a knowledge check. Is it local?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Oh, 32.
Oh, wow.
Knowledge natty 17. Good. 32 knowledge local.
Nice. So, yeah, you know that these are trollish. They're a subset of trolls. They're called scrags.
Scrags.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And
lost scrags?
They.
Lido.
And, you know, they ordinarily, yes, trolls do regenerate, but you know that this type of troll only regenerates when it's in contact with water.
Mm. Oh, beautiful.
All right, so she will mention that. Do they have any weaknesses to any energy or anything or resistances, anything like that?
Just like regular trolls, acid and fire.
Sorry, what is that? They're resistant to acid and fire, or they're weak to acid and fire?
No, they're weak to those.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's right. Fire stops their regeneration. Okay, so she will mention it, though, what it will do for this party, she doesn't really know. And she will say, you have nothing to fear here. They will not regenerate. I see no water around. Take them out, and they'll stay down for good. And she's going to inspire courage. So plus 2 to attack and damage. And then she will stay where she is, actually. And she's got the loaded heavy crossbow in her hand, and she's just standing there. She's not going to... It's a standard action to do that, so she's not going to fire yet.
Okay, awesome. It is... Now, it is Gavo's turn.
Okay, let's see here. Gavo wants to give Azura a clear shot when she needs one. Also wants to see if she, we can control the space a little bit here. So, cutlass in hand, he's going to step up to the east. He's going to step up to the east and square off against the troll here. I can roll acrobatic. Oh, no, they have an action, so they don't get an attack opportunity.
Right, flat-footed.
Right? Okay, so he will get there, and he will take a swing. He is going to... he'll just take a swing.
Okay.
With the cutlass. Okay, that's a 22 to hit.
That is a hit.
Nice. Good open, Gavo.
That's 15 points of damage.
Okay, very
cold
good.
Cold iron, if that matters.
doesn't, but good to know. All right.
That now will... he's pinned in against this back wall here.
Yeah, you are basically, you've cornered one of these two creatures. All right, it is Luther's turn.
Okay. Man, this is how I want this to go. Okay, I'm actually going to hold my action.
Okay.
Delay.
Luther delays. And
I'll say something to the effect like, Drakius, get near Gavo.
All right. And the furthest scrag away, rawr, like roars, it charges at Drakius. And
get it.
There goes that plan. Risk everything to get next to Gavo.
Risk it all.
And he bites you at a 20.
Yep, that hits even if I'm not flat-footed.
Okay. Ooh, 13 points of damage.
Yikes. These guys are as powerful as that crab.
They are.
Ouch-a-roo.
I've got a crab strength.
If I had to tell you how tough those scrags were, about as powerful as a giant crab.
Picture in your mind a giant crab. The second troll unleashes against Gavo, bites, and misses.
If you're going to keep attacking, I'm going to parry the next attack, or try to anyway.
Okay, yes. The second attack comes with a claw at a 23.
That is going to be... No, I don't get it. So okay. You hit me.
Right?
Yeah, 23 hits.
Okay. 9 points of damage.
Okay.
And claws again. Oh, natural 20.
Oh, come on.
Natural 20, and then is a 19 to confirm?
Does not confirm.
Okay. Unconfirmed.
Courtesy of that new armor?
Almost. We'll say okay. Yes.
Didn't all right. Hurt. Just say yes, Matthew.
Okay. Dodged a bullet there, and it is Drakius' turn.
Well, you still hit me.
Oh, no, I did. Oh, I did. Right. Ooh, man. 11 more points of damage.
Oof.
Oh,
so you just took 20 damage in that round.
Yeah.
And now it gets a rend.
Oh.
It's
no.
Right. It hits with what they both do. Claws.
That's, render
no,
farm.
That's what they do.
Oh, right. Yeah. He missed on the bite.
He missed on the bite and hit on the two claws. So he digs its talons into you and then rips them apart as he pulls back. And that is an additional 12 points of damage.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Colonel! Get up here!
Gavo,
I am dying!
Gavo is now down to fewer than half his hit points.
Oh, boy. Okay.
In one round.
It is Drakius' turn, unless the Colonel wants to step in.
The Colonel is just watching with a look on his face that does not fit the mood of the situation.
Okay.
Dare I say, delight?
What?
Just mad delight in his eyes.
Wow. Okay. Disconcerting.
Yes. That's the Colonel.
So we've been caught on our back foot in both of the combats that have happened inside of this volcano, this dormant volcano, in the caldera of this island, this watchtower. I would love to team up on the scrag that Gavo is fighting, but it looks like there's a statue next to him. So I couldn't even like risk an attack of opportunity to leave my position to help Gavo. So Drakius will swing out with his +1 great axe. Ulfin found artifact at this creature with power attack on. And luckily, thanks to furious focus, when I'm wielding a two-handed weapon, I do not suffer power attack penalty on the first strike. So this is huge. This is at a +11 still. Wow. So I'm hoping this will hit. 25 to hit.
That is a hit.
Nice.
Okay, good.
That's nice. That is 24 points of damage. Ooh. And 9 on a d12.
Ooh, wow. Yeah, that's a good chunk of damage.
Second attack is coming out. Slash.
Natural 20.
Grant.
His first ever natural attack, or no, second attack at a minus 5, natural 20.
He's coming home. Coming.
That is a 20 to confirm.
That's a confirmed critical.
Beautiful. Amazing. That is so huge. Needed that.
Yeah,
needed
that's massive. That. Massive.
All right, let's bring it up here. Let's go to the Naish, see what the Naish has to say about this. How about Austin from Fort Worth, Texas?
Hey!
Howdy, partner, DMW Metroplex. How you doing?
Austin from Fort Worth, Texas. This one is called Bone Crusher. Oh, shit. It says it's a bludgeoning attack. Ugh.
Oh, never mind.
Whatever. Who cares? Your strike slams the target so viciously that it breaks through their guard and crushes their bones. There's no reason you can't crush
a great
bone.
Axe. It's heavy.
It's a great axe. It's a great axe.
Double damage, and the target must make a fortitude save. On a failed save, the target takes 2d4 dex damage.
Oh,
a success reduces this to 1d4. So you still are going to take 1d4 dex. First of all, lower double damage.
Wow.
So what does that mean on a x3 weapon?
That's times three. That's a times three crit.
Times three.
Triple your damage.
Damage. So roll three times and triple that modifier and triple the bonus damage from Azora too, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that all gets tripped.
It's only 8 on 3d12, but that is 8 plus 45 for 53 points of damage.
Oh my goodness, Gamma lives!
Oh my god.
Drakeus is just, he's been focusing on two weapon fighting for so long, and he's had to fight off creatures for larger than him for so long, and he has been getting ripped, eating nothing but fish all day and swimming all night, and he just, with all of his strength, brings his axe down on this scrag skull.
Crushes his bones.
It's crushing his skull, splintering it, and sending it to the floor as it dies.
Yes!
Amazing.
Wow. That was amazing.
Just one shot him.
Huge.
Amazing.
Brent, Brent is dancing. And now he's making,
I can
now
hear
he's shooting.
On the ceiling upstairs. That's awesome.
Now he's shooting guns. And
now he's shooting guns. Yep.
Hey, Grant, I really should be wearing ear protection for that.
Man, oh, nice that was job, Austin.
So
thank
clutch.
You.
And thank you, Austin, for that crit. Man, that was good. Whew. Okay, round two. It's Azora's turn.
Azora, seeing Drakeus just easily take this thing out, is going to immediately end her performance, but you still have the bonus because she has lingering performance.
Nice.
So leave that on, but she will save the rounds of the actual ability. And then. These are in the center of the room. There are steps up to an altar. Is that accurate?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She is going to run up the steps.
Okay.
And get a raised position. But this statue is huge and blocks her view, doesn't it? Okay.
No, you can. You have visibility on this thing because it's large, but it will get cover.
Okay. What the hell? I'll take a shot with the heavy crossbow. Wait. Why is my bonus so low on that? All right. I'm just going to roll. If it's a tweener, we'll work it out. Of course, it's a tweener. Well, the roll is a 20 against with that cover. Is that a miss?
That's a hit.
Oh, that's a hit. Okay, great. Then we don't have to worry about it. And that is 5 points of damage.
Okay. Nearly killed it.
Colonel will go.
Okay, the Colonel goes.
Colonel will wrap around the stairs, stare at the creature, and just point at him. Roll a will save.
Okay.
I'm looking at you, fella.
Ooh, that's a fail. Natural 3.
Ooh, are you immune to compulsion or mind affecting?
No.
The Colonel says, fall. Command. He commands you to fall to the ground.
Wow. Yes. And it collapses. It collapses like a bag of laundry onto the floor of this tower. Wow.
You can feel the floor shake.
Good work. Okay, and you move, Colonel?
Yeah, I moved around, came down the stairs, turned around so I could see it, and pointed just past Gavo, awesome. My finger inches away from his earlobe. And I said, fall.
Excellent. Okay, and that is Gavo's turn.
Gavo knows an opening when he sees it. He is going to enact Precise Strike, spending another Panache point. And he is going to take a swing with the Cold Iron Cutlass. I also want to point out that it's been a long time since we played, and I just realized the Cold Iron Cutlass has a crit range of 15 to 20.
Oh, wow. Oh, oh my gosh.
Wow, you get that minus 4 for its AC against your melee attack.
Cracked
or it's prone, so.
Yeah.
Okay, not in the crit range. That is a 23 to hit.
Oh, that's a hit for sure.
Come on, Gabo.
Okay. Ooh, almost max damage. 24 points of damage.
Oh, oh my.
Okay. Trying to keep up with Azura's 5, I see.
And then
keep working at it.
Second attack. Critical threat. Let's see if it still hits. It's 27 to hit with the Inspire Courage.
That's yep, for sure.
Okay. So to confirm, natural 20 on the confirm.
Oh my god. Okay.
We are working it out. All right.
We're gonna need more submissions with that 15 to 20 range.
Seriously. Let's go to Andy from Lancaster, PA.
Hey,
only a flesh wound. Oh, this one sounds weak. Matthew, it was only a flesh wound.
I don't like the sound of that.
Your attack deals horrible damage to one of the appendages of your target. One of the appendages your target was using to move, be it a leg, a wing, or a tentacle. Normally, this would be a pretty major setback, but the target is astonishingly determined. Double damage, and the target must now make an acrobatics check for any move action until it receives magical healing.
Whoa.
a successful check, it moves at half speed.
I channel positive
energy. He just zags when you want him to zig. That's all he does. He's boss zags.
Alito.
Oh. Right. 23 points of damage.
How much?
23.
Oh. Okay. 23.
Okay. Yeah. Terrible rolling.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Okay. So.
Oh, and it's because you don't have that panache damage on this one.
Right. So I rolled a 1 and a 2 on 2d6.
That's still pretty good. So, yeah, you skewer its leg, like right through its hip, and much like the Black Knight in Monty Python and the Holy Grail, it's dead, practically dead, but it doesn't know it yet. It's its turn, and it tries to stand, so it'll make an acrobatics check to do so, and fails. But in the attempt, he provokes an attack of opportunity from Gavo.
Gavo!
And Gavo has combat reflexes.
Gavo!
So he can do this all day.
I will never be able to use the command spell in a cool way for the rest of my Pathfinder career.
Yeah, that was a pretty good one.
Yeah, the command spell never works that easily and that well.
That's a 23 to hit.
That is a hit.
Okay, minimum damage. 14 points of damage.
Well, feel free to describe your kill anyway.
Yes!
So this troll tries to brace himself against the wall to stand up, even though its leg is just a mess of blood and gristle, and falls. And in the falling, Gavo takes the cutlass and just like slices up from the ground up towards the ceiling and just hacks the leg clean off. And it breaks out.
And this dark blood just flies everywhere, spraying the staircase, and it falls over, bleeding out dead.
Is it like a white marble staircase? Like it's really clear
how this red
blood is contrasting against it? I can see it in my head.
When I get a panache point back.
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah. That's great.
This party like you found is getting a quarter. Effective.
Oh, look at that.
Wow.
Yeah. So the room is now bereft of other living creatures besides the party.
Wow.
Can I get that in writing?
Just sign here and in triplicate.
And now out of combat, once again, Azura will reload the crossbow. She just never gets a chance. You guys kill everything too fast. Reload and then look around this altar that she's standing up on. Now with a closer view.
Let's check these doors. He has a feeling they lead to the outside.
God damn it. God.
I'm going to unbar these doors. I have a theory. Hold on.
Your theory bears fruit. You remove the bar and you open the doors to see the caldera outside.
That is a very common tactic, by the way, in Capcom published and a lot of Japanese action games. You often find a door at like the beginning of a level and you try to open it and it says it's barred from the other side. Very common. I'm seeing it in Neo 2.
That's a total Resident Evil type thing.
Right.
Yeah. So, all right. So you go to check out this altar and it's just bare. Like there's nothing there. Yeah, the only things you see is these two magnificent statues, but the one of the statue with the butterfly wings, the one difference between this one and the one out engraved on the door outside and the other ones that you've seen in this building is this one is holding an oversized glaive in one of its hands.
Glaive.
Is that glaive made of marble or stone, or is it like a real weapon that we could pry out of its hands?
It looks like an actual weapon, although too big for any of you to use.
Oh, okay.
Can I roll religion on whose John is the glaive?
Sure.
I should roll pretty well. It's going to be a 20.
This is not... It's no one that you can think of, and it's not appropriate for, because you think this is Desna. Desna's weapon is the Star Knife.
Star Knife, yeah.
And yeah, you're not sure why. This seems inappropriate. Like, it doesn't seem like she should be holding it, but she is.
Detect magic on the altar and the statues, just kind of waving it around this area.
Yeah, there's no magic inside, and it's weird. Like, you can see that this everything, the Aslanti stuff that you've seen, so much of it is infused with this preservative magic, but it's very, very faint. Like, you see the same thing, but it's very, very faint, if it's there at all here. And you can see like this place is falling apart in a way that some of these other places that you've seen weren't.
What about detecting magic through the wall?
Through the wall.
Because there's two doors, right? Two sets of doors that go into what seems like a room next door. So can I just scan to see if there's a presence of magic in the room on the other side?
Yeah. You focus through the wall, and there is no magic. There's no magic coming from anywhere on this floor.
Okay. Well, ready to move forward when you guys are.
I probably could use a little healing.
Right.
I'm down more than half. Anyone have... Colonel, do you have...
I could give
one
you...
one channel. I can also spontaneous cast.
Didn't you get hit too, Colonel? Or was that earlier?
No, that was earlier. I'm down 6 right now.
I could do a casting of Cure Light Wounds.
Yeah, I'll drink a potion of Cure Mod too, but I'm going to probably need both.
All right, here comes a Cure Light. 12.
Great. Cure Mod is 2d8 plus 3?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm down 13, so at some point I'll need healing, but I can...
Oh, she's just channeling. We have multiple people down.
He only has one left, he was saying.
Yeah, he's trying to save it for...
I can use it. I'm happy to use it. I'll use it.
Right. Yeah, do you want to take back your... Oh, no, but you still need a lot of healing. So you should still take
roll
that.
The channel, and then I'll see if I use the cure mod or not.
My final channel yields 11 points of healing.
Okay.
Brings me to full...
I
would spontaneous cast, but I just feel like...
That's right, I'll drink the potion.
I've got kind of a nice range here in case we get into fear situations. I want to leave us...
Okay. I drink the potion. I'm up to full.
Okay great.
All right, let's move forward.
Drink is good. So it's the GM's dream. We burn so many resources.
I know.
This is great.
So there is another matching staircase opposite the one he came up on the other side of this foyer that leads up to the next floor.
Oh, okay.
And there are two pairs of double doors on the southern wall next to each of the statues.
Let's clear this floor first.
Clear this level or go up?
Yeah, let's just clear this level.
I didn't detect any magic on the other side.
Yeah, no
magic.
Do you
want to open doors at the same time?
Yes. Two and two? One, two, three.
Check, check.
Okay. You each breach and clear on one of the doors.
And explosives go off.
We've all sent our pawns into the fog of war.
Into Azura is going to swift action throw a flashbang into the room. Oh shit, it's two different rooms. Why does this always happen to us?
Man, it looks like it's more than two different rooms.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here. This looks like a central chamber. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, there's at least two rooms that you can see.
We clearly got a little punchy, and now we've made a huge mistake.
Enemies in each.
All right, so the room on the western side, which has, who's in there? Luther and Azura. That is, you see, a room in which centuries of disrepair and water intrusion have caused considerable damage to this corridor. It's a corridor. Mold blotches the walls and floor, while the stink of sulfur mixes with a musky odor. A nest of filthy rags, damp cloth, seaweed, and bones occupies the corner by the northern door. And in the opposite room, the other two of you, see that it is what looks like a library. Much of this cavernous library lies in terrible disrepair. The stone shelves set into the walls are cracked, chipped, and split, and heaps of ruined ancient tomes lie scattered across the floor. A tile mosaic in the room's center depicting a spiraling comet with a star at its center has been shattered by multiple blunt impacts from fragments of marble slab shelves. What few books remain on the shelves have crumbled into illegible scraps of long-lost lore.
I wouldn't be able to know this as Dracius, but that spiraling comet reminds me of the vision of the end of whatever we saw when we were going down earlier in the adventure. So I would probably point that out to Azura and Colonel Luther, who know better than I do, when we meet up.
Yeah. So there's a pair of double doors leading from the library into the corridor where the Colonel and Azura are. And in the corridor where Colonel and Azura are, there is a pair of double doors on a northern wall and a pair of double doors on the southern wall.
We'll open the adjoining doors at least to connect each other.
Okay, open the suite.
Oh, I'm so glad we got adjoining rooms. This will be my room. You three can stay over there.
Azura would like to check that pile of seaweed and bones just to see if there's anything in there. Okay. Anything of interest, anything of note?
Yeah, you dig through it and it stinks.
And it's just seaweed and bones.
Yeah, you go through it and there's nothing. Nothing of interest.
Any valuable bones? Any bones that might get 200-300 gold on the open market?
No. Although, you know what? I will point out that you guys did not search the bodies of the two scraggles we killed.
Oh, right.
Ooh, let's do that.
Well, we were busy breaching and clearing. You can't give them time to set up. Yeah. All right, so we'll go back out and search the scrags.
Okay. Search the scrags, and each of them are wearing identical necklaces, and that is it.
Oh.
I'm predicting pendant of natural armor plus one.
Okay.
Amulet of natural armor?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to say it's like two keys in a submarine.
Ooh, I like it.
Yes.
Ooh, okay.
Red Captain October. In the XO we just stumbled upon here.
Yeah. They insert their keys into their matching statues, and then...
The door opens.
Welcome to the obelisk. There's a long history here. Isn't that right, Johnny? That's right. They just go back and forth for 45 minutes.
I'll detect magic. Are they magical amulets?
They are both magical, yes.
And I will roll a spellcraft. That is a 24.
Okay. These are both identical necklaces of air adaptation.
Oh. Ooh.
What is that?
I was so close.
Is that for underwater creatures to live on land?
I think so.
Is that like the reverse of Avalus' lung?
Yeah.
It grants the aquatic wearer the ability to breathe air and renders it amphibious as per the universal monster rule, allowing it to survive on land indefinitely.
Oh, is this what Glankeith got?
Yeah.
And Glankeith.
Yeah, Gish and Glankeith, I think. had these, yeah. I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They're worth 10,000 gold pieces each.
Really?
That's what it says. They're wondrous items.
Wow. Maybe there's a point in this adventure where we all become fish people and we'll need these to ever come back on land, and then we'll have sold them.
I think that's exactly right, Troy.
What's interesting right. about
they're just
it
giving is, them away.
Like, would that help, like, Arkley or, like, some of the other people that were transformed survive better on land?
Perhaps.
Because we saw that happen kind of already.
Doesn't ooze urine onto their bodies.
Right. We should still pee on them just to make sure. We don't want to take the risk.
I mean, we have to let the islanders have their fun somehow. Okay.
This right. necklace grants the wearer the ability to get urinated on once per day.
The necklace of the golden shower.
To be serious,
is it Amsterdam?
Though, to be serious, though, Arkley's condition. It isn't because he can't breathe air, right? Like, if he is not urinated on, he just dies. Like, he right. just outright yeah, dries up and dies.
Dries up and splits and he dies.
Yeah, so it's not about breathing. Okay.
Right.
But useful to hang on to.
Sure.
All right. We can hang on with it for the moment.
That would help in diplomacy for sure. For yeah. like if great we ever trade get back with the Ukulura.
Yeah, oh, the Okoloro. Yeah.
Okoloro.
Or maybe that's probably, denizens not, of the underwater city might need mm-hmm. that.
Sure.
Yeah, see, yeah. If that's how we get treasure in this game. You're supposed to trade treasure you don't need for better treasure, and we just haven't been doing it. Mm-hmm. That's why we're cash poor.
Yeah. All right, there's still
Gabba
a couple
will
little
tell
closets.
Azura about the library. In case you
oh, yeah, yeah, awesome. Azura will, yeah, screw these other doors. Azura will go in and be like, what? And she'll examine this place, you know, a quick once-over to see if anything jumps out as really valuable in terms of knowledge.
Yeah, it looks like it's mostly been picked clean, but there are fragments of writing. There are a lot of these books and scrolls have been destroyed, but there are also hammered copper and tablets of this glossy black stone that are more durable and have been inscribed with Aslanti writing.
Oh, she'll grab one of these shiny polished black stones and read the okay. Aslanti writing.
So, yeah, you go through it. If you spend a little time, you get... And again, it's just so fragmentary, but you get a bunch of lore about this place, Nal Shikar. All that you can really tell is that it was home to this order of philosopher priests who devoted themselves to prophecy and trying to predict the future. And there's a lot of very disturbing references, A, to Earthfall, A, to the destruction of the Empire, and B, to veiled masters. This phrase comes up again in a lot of these scraps.
What did you say the tablets were made out of?
There's some that are copper and there's some of this glossy black stone.
That's like, I love that because like ancient Romans used to write on like wax with stylus and like before pigment and like papyrus and stuff. A lot of cultures used like soft clay and stuff like that. That's fascinating. Yeah. I love that. I love that
cuneiform.
Detail.
Yeah. Yeah.
Azura will do a rubbing of the okay. tablet. She'll rip a few pages of her book out and do a rubbing and then keep it, fold it up and hold on to it.
Great.
And any other scraps that of books that have actual writing on them, she's going to take and like stuff into a little satchel.
Yeah, there's nothing written on paper, anything survives. Right. Everything's been destroyed.
All right, well, she'll make a record of anything she can here.
Okay.
She needs to refer back to it for any reason.
Shall we check out these closets?
Yeah.
All right.
The north or the south?
Let's go to the north. All right, you open up the northern...
The door to the north!
Door to the north! North.
As is tradition. You open the northern door, and it looks like what might once have been a small kitchen, which now lies in ruin. Humanoid bone, strips of decaying flesh, and clusters of oyster shells and tangled seaweed cover the counters. The entire room smells of sweat and brine mixed with a tangy, sulfuric musk. A twisted nest of water-clogged cloth, partly dried seaweed, and gnarled animal carcasses fills the middle of the room.
This must have been their like little nest or their lair.
Maybe there's something in the tangle of stuff, but I don't really want to go in there.
Azura will go in there. She'll look into it.
Azura braves the stench and horror. Macabre horror. You dig through this mess of carcasses, and you do find one interesting thing. It is a pewter cup. Oh, no, sorry, cufflinks. A pewter set of cufflinks. And there is a symbol. There's a seal on them.
Knowledge nobility?
Yep. Ooh,
I can do that one, too.
Oh, okay.
21.
21.
Okay, yeah, you both see it's like, oh, this is the seal of Andorran.
Oh, I wonder if this is one of the villagers, maybe? One of the missing colonists. Yeah, colonists.
So wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. Did they attack the colony? Are we going to find more fucking treasures?
Well, Carver Hastings. Harvard Hastings did say that Helectory was at the root of some of our major problems. So yeah, maybe she was the one who disappeared the colonies and transformed Arkley and
set them against each other and all. Maybe she did all of it.
Maybe this is a reverse Scooby-Doo and Carver Hastings is Helectory.
And maybe these creatures were her like minions that went and killed or captured the original colonists. Yeah. Interesting. Why this one ring?
Let's open the southern doors.
Yeah.
Open the southern doors. And the spacious room contains the shattered wooden frames of beds and some dilapidated threadbare cloth mattresses placed in a pile, atop which a foul nest of animal bones, seaweed, and other watery detritus is heaped.
Yeah. Same thing, Azora's going to look through it.
Okay. And yeah, you see, they're kind of set up, they're beds, basically, you finally realize. It looks like, looks and smells like the Scrags slept in here. And behind one of the beds is a battered and rusted, looks like a tower shield that he's using as a headboard, or used as a headboard. And it has the same spiral and star symbol of this place on it.
Is it something we should take? Like, if we were able to repair it and clean off the rust, it would be, or is it totally?
You can, if you check it out, you might be able to figure it out.
Yeah, Gavo will inspect it.
Okay, so do you pull it away from the wall?
Yeah.
Okay, you pull it away, and it looks like it's beyond any kind of saving. But the minute you pull it away, this little bag tumbles down to the floor. And
a bag, you say?
And some gems have spilled out of it as it lands.
Maybe.
Nice.
Now, we haven't added those gems from before because we didn't get a chance to sell them, but did somebody record them?
Yeah, no. They're worth 550 gold pieces from before, so I can just update that total.
Yeah, baby.
Somebody praise. Give me a praise, please.
I can do that. 27.
I aid.
Yeah, these are pretty nice. It's a smaller bag, but there looks like maybe they were scavenged them from a shipwreck or something. They're worth 350 gold pieces.
Nice. 900 awesome. Gold pieces total.
Alright. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
No, nothing magical down here at all.
Shall we go upstairs and face Helectory?
Yes. There's a third floor.
I would follow you into the Helectory.
All right, let's go. Ooh, boy. This is an interesting situation.
I'll go up the eastern staircase.
No.
Those lead down. Sure.
Oh, I'll go up the western staircase.
let's go. Oh, jeez. This is tough. You know what? Could I scout it? I'd like to scout it.
Sure.
Like an arcane eye or something?
No, I was going to go invisible and sneak up there.
Ooh,
and just look around. But
I'll
everybody
wait till you get to the door, and then I cast Invisibility Purge.
Yeah, if we go up there and it's just a door, though.
Good luck, Azora. And I look back and smile and laugh. And
she thinks she's invisible the whole time.
Watch this.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to cast Invisibility. And so that'll give me 6 minutes, Skid.
Okay.
And I will go. Go. Red team, go. So, okay. And I will stealth up the stairs.
All right, you move up. And...
wait 1 second. I'll be right back.
Okay. Azura, you climb to the top of the stairs, invisible, stealthy, and you see two sprawling bas-reliefs that decorate the second floor landing of this room. The interior wall is engraved with depictions of a robed Aslanti man bearing a sword and an unmarked shield, battling a colossal demonic creature in a hellish landscape. The outer wall is likewise carved with a dramatic bas-relief etched with the finest details, in this case illustrating a turbulent ocean. In the image, shattered pieces of land are spiraling down the center of a massive whirlpool, each with fragmentary pieces of crumbling cities atop them. A single shaft of light or energy lances up from the middle of the whirlpool to the top of the relief.
Cool. Is it the islands, maybe? Is it like that's what the islands are?
And a pair of staircases wrapping around the outer walls ascend and descend the tower. So there's another set of staircases leading up.
Another second one up.
While double doors embellished with images of what you clearly think are Desna and Pharasma. They're located in alcoves at the top of each staircase.
Jeez. Detect magic. She's going to walk up to the doors, the first set of double doors, and try to detect magic through the walls.
Okay.
And yeah, into the center section as well.
Yeah, you spin around, and there is magic coming from beyond this central wall. Somewhere in the interior. There's magic coming from in there.
Okay, she'll spend another round focusing on it to determine how many magical auras there are.
Just one.
And then she'll spend another round getting the strength of the aura and its location.
It's right like 15 feet past this wall.
Okay.
And it seems to be abjuration.
Abjuration could be a trap. Okay. Interesting. Damn. She's going to try to stealthily open the door.
Oh. Okay. Open the door to the north.
It's a 20? Is that a question? It is a 20, yeah.
Okay. Seem to do it pretty quietly. So invisible.
And I just want to like peek in. See what I see.
Peek in. Doors open. And you see a long collapsed oaken table that litters this room, along with dilapidated and ancient looking remains of several chairs.
Okay. She's going to slip into the door and come up closer to where it seems to go into another room here. And just, again, trying to be super stealthy and just trying to see ahead.
Okay. And you can peek through the door if you want.
She does.
Okay. And you see a room with an enormous marble basin that sits on a stone dais flanked by iron braziers. The inside of the basin is caked with dried blood, and dark splotches mar the steps leading up to it. Behind the dais, an etched mural depicts the goddess Pharasma with her head down, cradling the light of a single star between cupped hands. Desna is depicted standing behind her, arms wrapped around Pharasma's shoulders, and butterfly wings outspread behind her. Opposite this dais is a pair of enormous stone doors engraved with arcane writing and geometric shapes.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Keep going.
This is so dangerous. He's going to walk like in front of these double doors and try to look around the rest of the room.
Okay, you get a little peek around the rest of the room. And there looks like there's another open doorway leading to the east, and yeah, you can just barely see in there a little sliver of it, and it looks like a room. Yeah, it's identical to the other room with the dilapidated oaken table in it.
Okay.
It looks like a mirror of that room.
Okay, she'll come in the room and just make sure that it's empty. No creatures, right? No signs of any creatures?
Nope, no signs of any creatures.
Okay. She will come back to the stairs.
Okay.
And, you know, all of a sudden you guys hear just her voice, Drakeus, in front of you. You know, like, she's like, I think there's no creatures on the second floor, though. There's a central compartment behind a heavy stone door that is emanating magic. Let's try to get in there. Fast! This spell won't last long. She vanishes. And you don't know where she is. But she leads you in and walks you right to this spot, and there's these like stone double doors.
Yeah, and you see all these etchings and these. There's something familiar about it. And you see in this room just outside this last pair of double doors, you see this basin caked in blood. It's very, very strange. Sorry, Grant.
Oh, no. That's important details. Drakeus suggests that we should flank the door outside of the sight of anyone that could be inside and have Azura open it while invisible and draw the thing out rather than us all open the door at the same time. So Drakeus is kind of standing off to the side and behind where the doors open.
Colonel?
Is everyone cool with that plan?
Colonel's going to stand right there.
Okay.
Well, that changes the plan then. If you're going to be safe,
then we'll just get out of the way.
It ruins the entire plan.
Joe doesn't move his pawn, so I just thought he was staying there too.
Well, he's invisible, so that's
invisible.
He's going to open the door because he's invisible.
Fair enough.
All right, if something's in there, it can't see anyone. Okay, she'll attempt to open the door. Skid, is it openable? Is it locked? Is it?
Yeah, you can open it.
All right, so stealthily attempting to open it. That is a 25.
Okay, 25 stealth.
Nice, Zora.
The doors open, and you see a scene of unique horror. The floor of this massive octagonal room is etched with an elaborate circle, consisting of magical symbols, concentric rings, and silver inlaid grooves, all stained with smeared blood. Four supports in the room have iron spikes driven into them, connected to thick iron chains that lead to the center of the circle. And sort of hanging by one chained arm, you see on the opposite wall this cowering, massive creature with its back turned to you. And it hears the door open, and it turns to look at you, and you see that it has one eye in the middle of its head that has been gouged out.
No.
And it opens its mouth, and... And we'll see you next time.
Oh,
that's horrifying.
Oh, my God. Oh. This scene. Look at this scene.
Oh, so much blood. So much blood.
A lot of blood. A lot of blood.
Raiders of the Lost Continent is a Glass Cannon Network production. The Glass Cannon is an officially licensed partner of Paizo Incorporated. Ruins of Azlant is copyright 2017. Ruins of Azlant and the Pathfinder Adventure Path are trademarks of Paizo. All Pathfinder images are property of Paizo and are used with permission.